This Week in Tech, Episode 7, recorded June 2nd, distributed June 4th, 2005.
The BBC would like to announce that the next scene is not considered suitable for family viewing.
And it looks as though we're in for a splendid afternoon sport on this, the 127th upper-class Twit of the Year show.
And now for something completely different.
We are all Twitch now.
What a great Twit!
Excellent. Yeah.
So everybody's recording?
Yes, recording.
Okay. And here's Slam Dance Industry. I'm calling him again. I don't know.
Oh, it just popped up saying he signed on, so.
Oh, good. Yeah, well, I see him. He's not answering.
I talked to Pat a little while ago. He was playing with connectors on his mic or something.
Yeah, he's still soldering. Oh, no, he has the connectors.
Oh, I just got that 45-inch Sharp Aquos in. What a lovely, lovely display.
Nice.
1080p.
Oh, it's 1080p?
Yeah.
45 inches? How much?
Yeah. $8,000.
$8,000. Well, that's not bad.
No, I mean, it's state of the art for what Sharp's doing right now, and there aren't many displays you can buy right now that are. I don't think there is one larger that is actually out on the market yet.
We're going to call Robert Herron P Tip because he's the 1080p guy or 1080p Tip.
Hey, the cool new trend is with smaller flat panels, the 37 inch. Everyone's shooting at 37 inches with 1080p now, and they're all for around $2,000 or less.
So when it's 1080p, that means that the native resolution of the screen from top to bottom is at least 1,080 pixels.
Right.
Are they typically more than that? Or
It's usually 1920 by 1080 for fixed pixel formats.
Can plasma...
Nothing else.
Are they doing any plasmas with that resolution?
Sure, but it's up in the 70-plus inch range, which is $50,000 on up.
Okay. So if you want 1080p and you're going to start seeing more and more 1080p high def... LCD is the way to go.
I really hope that's going. I mean, Windows Media, give them credit for their high definition effort at least, but at least they include 1080p in all their published formats or as far as what you can buy in the store. Like the Terminator 2 disc, and I'm also watching, what is it called? Coral Reef Adventure. The Coral Reef Adventure.
That's been up for a while, right?
Yeah, but it is just
But
gorgeous.
It's just coral reef, right?
Yeah, that's true. It's lots of underwater.
Is Schwarzenegger in that?
Liam Neeson narrating it.
See, remember when HD first came out and you'd go to the trade shows and all these Japanese companies would be there with aquariums? It's like, come on, we want something. I mean, you don't buy an HD TV to watch fish.
No.
I don't think.
Well, PC Graphics, too, initially pushed it on just because you already had high def in a PC, and if you could just come up with the right format graphic, it would look pretty sharp. The problem I'm running into, actually, with that sharp 46-inch right now, or 45-inch, is that even though it's 1080p, I don't believe DVI or any digital format currently supports 1080p, as far as I can tell.
Oh, you mean you can't put it out of anything that you've got?
Well, I can do it through component, but not digitally right now, which is something I... like the native PC resolution's 12 by 10.
Why would that be? I mean, digital doesn't specify what the resolution is.
I think it's a bandwidth issue, to be perfectly honest with you, with the current spec, especially with DVI. I'm less certain with HDMI, and that's something I'm looking into right now.
You know, if it's DVI, it's going to be HDMI, because it's the same thing. It's just a different electrical connector, right?
It should. No, I mean, it is totally backward compatible, but I was a little bummed that I couldn't just simply turn my PC on with a DVI connection to 1080p.
Oh, that's interesting. That's a real limitation.
But I'm willing to bet I can do it with component. I'm about to find out anyway.
Patrick just sent me a note saying he blew his power supply.
Don't.
So he's switching to another system.
Patrick's having the same kind of problems I'm having lately.
Hey, I have to tell you something. I feel I feel a little guilty here. I actually bought a PC laptop, and worse than that, it's a tablet PC.
Oh no.
Oh, I know. I feel like I've gone over to the other side.
Hey, man.
Hey, there he is.
Did you use it?
Okay. I went on hold with everyone.
Really stupid and blew up a power supply.
Now, Patrick, is your recorder on right now?
What's that?
Don't say anything unless your recorder's on.
I can't.
Oh.
I realized that I can't find the adapter for the microphone.
Patrick's the only one who got a microphone that actually came with a connector.
with a quarter inch connector.
And now you can't. Oh, I see. You don't have a headphone adapter.
I have a good four or five of them, but right now I started packing up my house.
Patrick, I don't care. Just
to move.
Still plug in the recorder and record yourself on the.
Okay.
Because at least we'll get a high quality recording that way.
Okay. I just have it is in there.
Yeah, and then turn it to MP3 64 kilobit.
Already did that.
Yeah, so that way you'll get enough on there.
I spent the 45 minutes working through the manual to get that set up.
So, ladies and gentlemen, this is like the part in Wizard of Oz where it goes from black and white to color. Patrick Norton's about to go from Skype to high-quality audio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. That's better.
Okay.
Yay.
Hey. So,
hey, guys.
Yes. Yeah.
So, I got a hot tip for everybody. Seriously hot tip. If you're going to stop the fan on your big expensive computer so that the whine from the really loud power supply you haven't replaced, even though you have a brand new power supply sitting in the room with you that you haven't installed yet, when you're using that little removable steel tab that, you know, the card slot cover, don't stick it in too far or there'll be a loud pop and the power will stop.
So you're using the card slot to physically stop the fan?
Well, now I'm not because the power supply's dead.
Dude, you're shooting for a Darwin Award.
Oh, you just catch up on that part of my life.
Part of the fun of working with Patrick is the risk involved.
Well, hey, somebody gave me a revision 0.1 motherboard that was in a brand new box, and I went and installed it, and I'm having more issues than I care to describe right now. And then I realized it is a revision 0.1, so they probably got it for free before it ever came out, and I'm ready to throw it out the window.
Have you guys heard about the bad caps problem?
Oh, where they were having problems with the capacitors blowing up?
What do you think of that? Is that BS or is that the real deal?
That was real about a year or two ago.
So it's all better now?
There was just a significant issue. There was the whole problem where they would leak and become, it's pretty corrosive material inside of there.
Badcaps.net is the website. So you think that that's all water under the bridge?
I mean, as soon as it came to light, it seemed that there was an immediate reaction. Everybody took a good look at whose brand they were using. And putting a little more quality, I think, into that one part.
Yeah, these are pretty old. I'm looking at it now. They are pretty old motherboards.
Well, it's kind of scary when you think about, you think about the amount of little tiny parts that go together to make a motherboard, you know, or an MP3 player or of, you know, video recorder. If somebody screws up a run of capacitors.
two-cent part.
Yeah.
Well, and that's what happened. Apparently, there's a batch of leaky capacitors that got into a bunch of motherboards.
Quality control.
Well, and especially when, you know, your margins are razor thin and you're trying to crank this stuff out.
It's true.
And they don't want to recall the parts and replace them like they should.
Well, that's true, too.
Well, they learned that from, Detroit.
Yeah, I saw Fight Club.
Yeah.
I know how the automobile industry works.
Take the cost of a recall.
Actually.
Lawsuits.
Patrick, you're going to be mad at me. I bought a tablet PC.
I'm not mad at you. I'm laughing at you.
I have a question.
Here's the worst part.
Well, at least you're away from Tiger now.
I kind of like it.
Are you using it to browse in the bathroom?
Do you take it in the bathroom with you in the mornings?
I think there needs to be a 12-step program for me for tablet PCs. I can't stop using.
So are you drawing on the screen all the time? Or what?
I bought it for is for the TV show. Because, I wish we'd had these when we were doing the screensavers.
Because you can bring up a web page and hold it up to the camera and point and gesticulate and do all the stuff they tried to make us do with that
with a
football.
Stupid teleprompter.
Yeah.
So, and also it's flat. So it doesn't, it's not like this big clunking thing sitting in front of you. You're just holding a tablet. And so I think particularly for Amber's web workshop, it's going to be really great because she shows sites. She can highlight, circle. I put Vizio on it so she can use Vizio to quickly do mock-ups and stuff. I think it's going to be a good way to do that kind of stuff anyway.
Well, sure. You're a vertical industry, Leo, much like hospitals and insurance adjusters.
I kind of like it. The ink is kind of neat. You write your stuff, and I'm using OneNote, and the Franklin Planner folks have a day planner program, and it holds the ink. And then if you want to turn it into text, it does a fairly good job. It's a lot better than the Newton.
What's the battery life on it?
I got an HP, the 4200, I think TC4200, and it's a Pentium M, And I'm getting about 3 hours. It's not a huge, but it's a tiny battery. You have to get a supplementary battery. But it's a little, you know, it's a small one. It's not a big one. It's 1024 by 768, 12-inch screen.
And you said it's definitely better than the Newton?
It is better than the Newton. It's kind of cool. You know, but now, Patrick, you have to explain to me, because you're the one who always said never, you know, you like these little micro notebooks, sub-notebooks, that don't have spindles. They don't have a CD. How do you install stuff on it?
Use an external CD or do it over the network. The truth is it's actually, it's getting, until you get into the really sub notebook, I don't even know what you call them, the ones that are running like the 3/4 screens where it's 1024 by 760 or, you know, 620, stuff like that.
That's what I have.
Yeah, it's getting really hard to actually find a 5-pound notebook that doesn't have an optical spindle in it anymore.
And I think it should, because I would like to be able to, I got this for the TV show, so it's not as critical, but I think if I were going to buy one all the time, I want one that has a DVD player and a CD burner. I mean,
right.
That's what my IBM T40 has. I love that thing.
Yeah.
That's a great notebook.
Just small enough, and it's tough. And the keyboard's awesome.
T-Series is an amazing series from IBM.
That and the little light they put at the top of the screen you can turn on and off, because I work in a dark, you know, dark lab with the...
But I like the tablet, but it's not a tablet, right? It's just a regular laptop.
No. Yeah.
This is a convertible, so you get the kind of the best of both worlds as long as the hinge doesn't break, which I'm sure...
Can you guys still handle 1024 by 768? I can't take it anymore. I cannot work on anything that's 1024 by 768.
Yeah, I can.
But my screen's small enough.
I'm old. I have bad eyes. When you get too high a res for me, I can't see this. Everything's too tiny.
Yeah, it depends on the res, but I haven't been able to find that many laptops that support up to like 16 by 12.
The new, you might like the new, there's a new tablet PC. I think it's a Toshiba that's that 16 by 12.
16 by 12 is really small. I mean, that's a really that's a lot of resolution for. But anything
you have
for
young eyes, Kevin.
Yeah, anything like
I'm using. What is it? 11
smaller than a 17
my 19-inch monitor at home, and I find that's just about kind of a perfect balance without having to, you know, boost the DPI or anything to achieve.
Well, and that you can always do that. You can make the, you know, icon text bigger and all that stuff. I mean, you don't have to have.
But you know what? It screws up some of the menus that pop up and things like that. It doesn't scale everything properly, which I guess Apple supposedly does a little bit better, which wouldn't surprise me. So,
well, I ran into a big problem with it. I was helping a friend buy a laptop for doing CAD work, and he had to have a minimum of 1280 by 1024 for the program to work. And so he ended up having to go with like Voodoo's like $5,000 absolute top of the line card with a Quadro FX card in it.
Wow.
But
I normally found that when I was looking for a laptop, I have a Dell, the 600D, and it was like a custom option that you had to order. You know, it was like the, what do they call that? Like the SXGA Plus screen. That
yeah.
16 by 12.
Yeah, yeah.
Extra $100 or so, but
I that's not bad.
Yeah. But that was like, a 15-inch monitor on that, 16-inch?
14, actually.
Wow. See, that's too, that's too high a resolution for 14 inches.
10 by 7, and it works out just great.
You're crazy. Hey, interesting. One of my sponsors on the radio show is a DSL provider. Just announced that they are now offering normal DSL, you know, 1.5 megabit DSL, for $15 a month.
I read that.
For how long?
SBC's offering
SBC's done it, and so now everybody's dropping. Can you believe? And
is that for 6 months, or is that indefinitely?
I don't know what SBC's do. I think SBC's a few months, but these guys are guaranteeing for a year. $15.
That's great.
I really think we're going to start to see big-time price wars in the high-speed internet. It's about time.
Yeah, because, you know, the big companies are going to kill off the little ones.
That happened before, though. Remember, there were all these little ISPs, and now there aren't. Whatever happened to Vario? Remember Vario bought everybody? Are they still around?
Yeah, they're still around.
Are they still an ISP? You don't hear about them.
I don't think so.
They bought everybody.
Hold on.
I used to use the same person that sponsors you, so.
And I don't want to mention their names because it's not an ad for them at this point.
Yeah, that's fine. I know who it is. That's why I say the same company. They were my residential service when I was in Oakland. I loved them.
So here's the deal. They're going to give me in the new. You know, I'm moving this all next week into an outside office out of the house, and I'm going to get, because it's 2 blocks from the central office, I can finally get I think 512 up. So I'm going to get 3 megabits down, 512 up, something like that. Whatever their top of the line is.
Ooh.
And then I'm going to have at home. I'm going to have Comcast. So it's going to be very interesting to compare the two. I used to always like cable better. I don't know. What do you have, Kevin? Do you have DSL or cable?
I have cable modem at home, and it's terrible.
Yeah, you have Adelphia or
morning? No, Comcast.
Comcast. And there's too many people in your neighborhood.
And in the afternoon.
Yeah, there's too many people.
I love my cable modem.
You like it, Robert? You said you like it or you don't like it?
Hmm. I think it just cut off on him. Cable.
That's the cable modem.
There's the answer right there.
Well, listen, I mean, it pretty much depends on
Yoshi, you like DSL?
The cable provider.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, I have a 3 megabit line here, so
I'm at work.
Line. What are you? So, Patrick, are you cable modem or DSL?
I'm DSL because until I moved to this house, I couldn't get a cable modem, and the only cable modem provider I know of in San Francisco is Comcast, and I won't give them any of my money for reasons I won't go into.
Hey, this is cool. Nobody here works for Comcast now.
Nope.
Yay! So we can say anything we want because nobody can get fired.
Very true.
So, Kevin, big...
Here it comes.
Big rollout. No, I'm not going to do anything. Don't worry. Big rollout for System last week. You want to tell the world what happened?
Oh, it was just madness. I can't believe what happened. There was how many people were in the chat room, Leo?
We got up to 800 people in the IRC, but it wasn't. You couldn't do anything because we were being botted the whole time. They finally locked it down. We actually had this was DSL Extreme who provides the chat room. Did a really the guy's name is Andrew. His handle is Ecstatica. He is one of their techs there, and he is an EFNet op, and he knows what he's doing, and. He locked it down. He did a great job. Yeah. However, I've never seen 800 people. You know, it was like skiing. This thing's going, the text's going by so fast, you feel like it's like blurring. You feel like you're downhill skiing through text. It was amazing. And it was, people were, I know you were having a party, right, with a camera.
Right.
Yeah.
And, so basically we had a little get-together. There was probably about, I don't know, Yosh, what was there, like 15, 20 people, something like that?
Yeah, about that. I mean, when we were there, there was over 800 people on the IRC, and we were like, whoa! All the websites were getting hammered.
Yeah, the system actually went down. The web server itself went down, but luckily we used a caching service from Prolexic, and they were able to bring on multiple machines all over the place and kind of cache all of our content and seed our content, so we stayed up.
I saw that on your blog. Had you made an arrangement with them ahead of time, or did they come to your rescue like the fire brigade?
Well, actually, it happened right when we went down. Ron, who's kind of our tech guy that handles the server side of stuff, made a call to our CEO, Jay, who is friends with the owner of Prolexic, and they were able to accommodate us. They were really stoked. It was crazy because the guys, I guess, that set it up from Prolexic were like, we're hosting System? That's awesome. They were really stoked
neat.
About it because they had heard about it themselves. So it was really cool. They really helped us out. So
they're like an Akamai kind of? They do the caching?
Well, their main business, I guess, from what I understand, is anti-denial of service.
So
if you're a Microsoft or a Yahoo and someone's DDoSing you, they will basically spread the hit out and also use ways to filter out the bad packets. So
the key at this point with DDoS, because of raw sockets, you can't really filter by IP address, even if say it's a massively distributed denial of service attack where you have thousands of machines. Even then, it's only going to be thousands of IP addresses. You can eventually lock it down by blocking those addresses. But if they use raw sockets, every request, every SYN is a different IP address. You can't block it. You can't lock it down. So the only way to solve that is to throw bandwidth at it.
Right.
And
which they have like around, somewhere around 1,000 servers worldwide.
That's what you need.
And spread it out.
And then you can throttle it. And then you can also throttle it by saying, no, if I get a SYN, a SYN is a request. Okay, I want the page. You can't block SYNs universally or your page is down.
Right.
So what they do is they say, okay, we're going to, the SYN flood, you only get the packet once from that IP address. Then the guy switches to a new IP address, or maybe twice. So the key on these is to say, all right, well, I'm going to wait and make sure it's a real SYN. So I'll wait till he resends, because every normal browser will wait a little while and resend. So your site's slow, but it's up.
Right.
Because you basically filter out the bad SYNs. But it takes a lot of bandwidth to do that.
Yeah.
Hey, I just got a IM from Rob. He said he should be able to be back in. He's on a different connection now.
Oh, all right. So let me invite him back into the conference. Of course, like I said, we've been hearing him on the recorder this whole time. He's been on the TwitCast. I'll have to. There we go. You don't have to. I hope you weren't talking, Robert, because now I have to edit you out of the high quality version. I hope you swore and said, "God damn it!"
Hey, Leo,
I ditched the Ethernet and went to wireless, and it seems to be working better. So.
Oh, interesting.
Were you looking for information on Vario, Leo?
Yeah.
What happened to that? They got bought by Japan's ILEC NTT.
Oh, NTT Docomo.
Yeah. I don't know if it's NTT Docomo.
Nippon Telephone and Telegraph, yeah.
So NTT Communications Global IP Network.
You get swallowed by them, you're swallowed.
Well, it's pretty scary. Vario said they bought more than 54 local, regional, national, and international providers.
Yeah, they were, I think, you know, angling to be the big guy. And then, of course, a bigger there as they to quote episode what is it episode 2 or episode 1? There's always a bigger fish. Except if you're NTT Docomo, then there isn't a bigger fish.
Yeah, they have a 125,000 mile network of backbones. It says,
"Wow,
it's kind of insane." You look at the global IP network, and I'm counting like lines across the Pacific. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, like 18, I think. 15, something like that.
So we were talking about system bringing being just huge. Do you know how many downloads you got, Kevin? I mean,
It's hard to count. We have the tracker through BitTorrent, and according to BitTorrent, it's a little over 60,000.
That's great.
Nice.
And then we have all of the, obviously, all the mirrors that were set up and posted. So.
And how big is the file?
It ranges depending on you want low or high quality, but in between 50 to 150 megabytes.
So 60,000 times, let's say, 100 megabytes is 6 terabytes. Is that right?
That's a lot of data.
Holy moly. Jiminy Christmas. Good golly.
That's crazy.
Holy megabytes, Batman. Have you seen the new Batman? Batman Begins or whatever it is? Have anybody seen
it? It comes out the middle of the month.
Everybody's getting excited. They say it's good.
That 10-minute preview they showed at the end of Smallville, the season finale, was awesome looking. I cannot wait. That excites me far more than Star Wars, dude.
Yeah. Well, we've had some bad Batmans, though.
Oh, definitely. But this is the origin of Batman, starting from when his parents die on up through his training to become Batman. And it really looked cool. But, you know, maybe they only showed the best 10 minutes. So.
I hope not. I really want to see it. I have actually seen the models for the cars that they used in the movies.
Yeah, that stuff's pretty wild.
Insane. And I didn't know Batman was a ninja.
Well, where do you think? He had to learn that somewhere.
That's true. But I didn't realize he did, like, ninja training. The Cape Crusader he is. So.
Hey, just remember, nunchucks don't kill people. Ninjas do. I've stolen it. I should give credit to that. That is a company. I met this guy in Rockville, Maryland. He has a company. This is his T-shirt that he had. He was wearing. It's called, it's Naked. Oh, shoot. Now I feel bad because I owe him a plug. I just stole his best line. Naked. I'll put a link in the show notes. Naked. I just lost his business card. Where is it? So, okay. I'm sorry to keep coming back to system, but I feel like I really want to hear the whole story. So, were you DDoSed, Kevin?
No. It was just the downloads and the sheer number of people that were trying to access the site at once. The funny thing about it, though, is that the main problem that we had with the server hitting its peak load was not the sheer number of users, but it was just the fact that people were signing up for the newsletter.
Yeah.
And it was sending out, so many people were signing up for the newsletter, it was sending out the newsletter confirmations, and it actually brought our server. We had a pretty crappy server at the time, but now we're much better.
And KevinRose.com is down right now. You went back to TypePad?
Right. I went back to TypePad.
And are you happy?
I'm very extremely happy. I actually chatted with one of the guys there. I think he's either the CTO or I can't remember his exact title there. But I told him some of the problems I was having as far as the site going down because of too much traffic. And it seems like they've really built out a great backbone and a great network at TypePad.
That's
neat.
I
haven't had an issue ever since I moved over there. So
there, I mean, that's a really nice success story. I mean, it was just this young couple, Ben and Mina, and they, you know, he's a Perl programmer. He wrote this thing. And they've really built a business around it, which is kind of neat. Yeah. Something I'll never be able to do because I don't have a head for that stuff. But it looks like you're doing it, Kevin.
Yeah, we're trying to. I mean, we've put together a really good team, and we're excited about cranking out as many episodes as we possibly can.
How was your last day at G4? Was it sad?
It was a little bit. I mean, I've become friends with a lot of the people there. The guys on Attack of the Show is just a great group of people. And
who's left now? Prager's still there. Sarah's still there. Joshua Brentano.
Brennan Moran, but he never really worked with us.
Ryan Vance came back. That was wild. He was a guy who really put X Play on the map.
Right.
And he left, and then he came back. And I think, he's like a vice president now or something.
Yeah, he's pretty high up now.
So let me tell you about this blackmail story, because I think this is kind of whack. And I don't know if it's a true... I don't know how widespread it is. It's just one security company claims they've discovered this. It takes advantage of a whole... Since patched, but you know, most people still haven't patched Windows, that allows you to run arbitrary code on the computer of the guy who visits the site. So if you go there with an unpatched computer, they run what they run is PGP, and they encrypt your document files with their password, right? And they leave a note in your hard drive saying, "You want to get into these files? It'll be $200."
That's awesome.
That is really clever.
I'm sorry, that's just funny. That's great.
What's funny is it's not $1 million. It's $200.
$1 million.
No, but Yoshi brought up a good point. He said, "Well, can't we just track the payment? I mean, maybe you have to pay somebody in Russia or something, and they can't."
Yeah.
Well, bank records can be tracked all over the world now. I mean, if you call the feds and say I'm being blackmailed over the internet, if they actually do investigate it, they're going to just get the routing numbers and go know exactly what account it went into.
Yeah, but if you move fast enough.
Well, basically all of these hacks require that, right? You get even the phishing scams, you get as much as you can for the 24 hours you can keep the site up, and then you move. Because they block these sites as soon as people notice them. I've been getting a lot of phishing mail from eBay lately.
Yeah.
I got one right now.
Have you guys been getting a lot of Russian spam?
A lot of what?
A lot of Russian spam?
No, but I do get a lot of emails from young Russian women who are looking to meet a good-looking guy like me.
Have you tried that out?
No.
See, I get emails that say I need to take the hair, restoration drugs, and then I'll meet the young Russian women. Then they'll send me the young Russian women spam.
Yeah, that's exactly it. First, you got to take the Viagra and the Rogaine. That's the key.
Did you hear about that Viagra? It's blinding people?
Yeah. Do you think that's true?
I don't know.
You'll go blind if you do that.
Oh, it's true. Your mom was right.
Especially for all the people that are taking it recreationally. It's like,
Well, why is it any worse? If you need it or you don't need it, you're still blind.
Oh, that's such a popular...
Who takes it recreationally?
I think a lot of people take it. Come on. Well, Kevin, you don't need to because you're young and virile. But I think a lot of people take it.
We hope. And if you're not, we don't want to know.
I don't want to know either way.
Yeah.
But I think that's very common. I mean, that's why you buy it on the internet, right? I mean, why else?
For fun.
I thought you meant like he's like hanging out with some friends.
Oh, no.
a little strange.
That would be very little strange. Yeah.
Excuse me, guys. I got to move here. I'm a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I can't stand up.
I can't move.
So does this qualify as the G-rated version of the show?
This is our last gasp, because as soon as we get on that big player, we can't be. We have to. No blue material. You know who invested in Cialis? You know Cialis is one of the competitors for Viagra.
Oh, Bill Gates.
Bill Gates.
Really?
Bill Gates was a prime. I think a prime investor in that, and then they sold it to the pharmaceutical company that sells it now, but he funded the company that came up with it. Let's talk about BitTorrent. So BitTorrent now is a trackerless BitTorrent. Are you going to keep using BitTorrent for a system, Kevin?
Yeah, it just makes the most sense right now.
Of course, it's the easiest way to get Twit, but the problem is it's not... I mean, it's easiest in the sense that you can get it, because there are a lot of seeds, and it's very fast. Not initially, but once it's got, once there's 10 or 20 seeds out there, it comes in pretty quick. The problem is I think a lot of people don't know how to use BitTorrent. It's, it's not exactly easy to use.
Right.
We all use Azurius. Does everybody use Azurius here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It seems awfully quick. That's all I have to say. Once it's going.
Yeah. Well, once there's enough seeds, you're pulling it at your maximum speed, I think, if there's enough seeds out there.
Has anybody been using the new BitTorrent search engine?
Well, that's what they're doing. It's called trackerless search, and that's the problem with BitTorrent. The reason it's possible for the Motion Picture Association of America to go after the, you know, BitTorrent sites, the Supernovas and the TV Torrents and all that, is because there's a tracker.
No slowdown in tracker sites. If anything, they're more than ever. So,
and there really is some question. I mean, these guys don't stay up because who can fight, you know, deep pockets? You know, you can't afford to fight it. But the tracker sites aren't hosting any content. I mean, there's nothing illegal on the tracker site. It's just putting people together.
Didn't 2600 go into a long and extended legal battle about, you know, pointing links?
That's right. But did they lose or win?
I think they won that case.
Did they not? I think you're allowed to link to... They linked to DCSS, the decryption tool. Well, even if they lost in court, and I don't know, we'll have to do some research, but even if they lost in court, they certainly won morally, because DCSS is everywhere.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting to see what happens, because now that we're seeing trackers, because when it was tracked, they were still kind of responsible because they were actually operating the tracking servers.
So there's somebody you can go after.
Completely trackerless.
There's no central.
Exactly.
There's no central point of. I mean, although you could still, if you could, I mean, if you look, if you're looking for Star Wars and you start downloading Star Wars, you can see the IP address of the guy you're getting it from, right?
Right. Everyone that's even in there, you can just use TorrentSpy and drag and drop it inside that app. It'll show everyone's IP address.
And I mean, that's identifying them.
But that's even been addressed now. I mean, on Slashdot this morning, there was a new BitTorrent replacement, quote unquote, called Rhodey, which is written in Java, and it actually includes full anonymity. So you can... You can basically use a third party to block your IP address, and there's no way to figure out who's doing what. So, and it works really well with... what were they saying? If A wants to get a file from B, I'm quoting this right off the page right now, and they get C to agree to stand in on the exchange, B gets C's IP address, not A's. So it's using a third party.
If you could also... I'll give you... You know, there are tools out there to anonymize you. There's a... I'm actually getting one to review, and I'll let you know how it works. There's a product called iPhantom that is very slick, which gives you full anonymity. This is a little box. You would put it outside your router. It's not a NAT. It's not doing NAT. It's it filters all your traffic through their servers, and their servers look for viruses, spyware. They completely protect you, but also because you're going through their servers, it's in effect a proxy. It's not a proxy, but it works like an anonymizing proxy. Nobody can see your IP address.
And this is iPhantom?
It's called iPhantom. They're sending me one because it sounds really cool. The guys who did it have a really good track record in this area, and I think it might be a big business. It's a very intriguing product.
It sounds like Anonymizer. Why do you have to have the hardware box, though? Why can't you just do all that in software?
Well, Anonymizer is a proxy server. You know, it's proxying, so it hides you by filtering you through a lot of different servers. A couple of disadvantages, of course, it's slower because you go through a bunch of different servers. What this does in addition to that, it provides firewalling and antivirus and anti-spyware. It's because they're looking at all the traffic that's going through, and they're stopping. If you have an email with a virus attached, they remove the virus, and then they pass along the email to you. So it's much more. It's Anonymizer Plus. Although, really, the anonymizing isn't the key to this whole thing. It's a side effect. But, and I asked them this specifically, do you work with BitTorrent? Yep, pass it right through.
This is like a hardware version of the zero knowledge stuff that they used to do.
It's kind of like that, yeah. But again, it's not a proxy. It's doing something a little bit different.
Do they keep log files so they could be subpoenaed? I mean, Anonymizer, I know for a fact they don't keep any log files.
Right.
Just toss them right out.
Because otherwise, Interpol or a police agency could say, well, who was using this IP address at this time? In fact, that happened, of course, with remember those anonymous proxies, email proxies.
The email
one of
remailers.
Them, whole service. Yeah, and one of them, I can't remember, the big one.
Was it anonymous.5?
Yeah, and your poll came to him and said, give us the names, and they did. But yeah, so that's a good question. I'll have to ask them. Because their business is not anonymizing, does Anonymizer work with BitTorrent?
That's a good question. I know it encrypts and handles everything as far as HTTP requests.
Yeah, I bet it doesn't. I've have to turn off Anonymizer. It's things like editing wikis and stuff because it messes things up. In fact, the Google cache did the same thing.
Oh, that was a disaster.
Yeah, that didn't work too well, did it? They pull the plug on that very rapidly.
Yeah.
You know, you got to credit them. They try stuff. If it doesn't work, they say, well, move on. You can't have 1,000 hits. I mean, 90% of what they do is great. So you got to give them some credit.
I have, Leo, I have and everyone else, I have a guest here I want you to talk to. He's sitting right next to me, Mr. Dan Heward.
Yeah!
Foo!
It's Foo-Foo!
Hey, Dan.
Hey, how are you doing?
Wow. How you doing, Dan? You're working on system full-time?
Yeah, it appears so, yeah. That's what the boss tells me.
You getting a paycheck?
I think so. It's checks in the mail, isn't it?
It's so great to talk to you. You know, on Mother's Day, we've been trying to get you on for a while. And in fact, you have an email address, believe it or not, Dan. It's dan@thisweekintech.com. On Mother's Day, I saw you come on IM, so I started typing it. It was your mom.
Oh, yeah, my mom. She came on. That's right. She told me about that.
Very sweet. We had a lovely conversation.
Oh, yeah. What did you guys talk about?
You, of course. What else would we talk about?
I'm just kidding.
So how's things going? Are you having fun?
Yeah, definitely. It's the time of our lives. When we lived up in San Francisco, for me specifically, it was one of my best times growing up. And we're, you know, there's a good chance that we're going up there again. And we're just going to re-experience that and do something that we love at the same time.
Are you coming back up here?
Yeah, we think so.
Oh, dudes, that would be great.
Yeah, then we can get together and do some video content.
We could do it live, and that means we could do video.
That's right.
I'm excited. Yoshi, you'll be the last one down there. You got to come back.
Time to come back up, Yoshi.
Yeah, well, I may have just had an offer that's not going to enable me to come back.
Oh, can we talk about that, or is that still up in the air?
It's still up in the air, but, I mean, I can talk about it. It's a special effects company that does 3D scans and stuff.
That's so cool.
Has offered me a position. I just have to sign the final paperwork possibly
so
tomorrow.
Excited for you. That's really exciting. It yes. sounds like the job for you.
Well, for me, I mean, you know, growing up playing with all these toys and being a Star Wars junkie and all this kind of stuff, now it's like, okay, cool, I get to make them.
What are you going to be doing? You making models or?
Well, they do like the 3D scans for all the movies, like Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, all those they've done. And when they sometimes for movies for visual effects, but also for the toys and the models and the maquettes and that kind of thing. And I will be running all of their technology, all their computers, all their scanners, all their rapid prototyping machines.
Dude, we want Twit action figures. I'm not kidding, dude.
I'm not either. That sounds awesome.
what do you think, guys? Because, you know, I'm going to have to learn how to use all this stuff. So I'm
That's
like,
right.
I want an action figure.
Think Geek has said that they will sell merchandise. I know we have this Jinx hackware also, Kevin. And I don't, not stepping on Jinx. But, you know, we've had a relationship with Think Geek for ages and ages, too. And they want to do some merchandising. And Jinx just does t-shirts, right?
What's that?
Jinx Hackware just does t-shirts, right?
Yeah, they just do t-shirts.
So we'll give Jinx the t-shirt concession, but I want action figures, and we'll get Think Geek to sell those, okay?
Sounds good.
Yoshi, you can have a lightsaber on your action figure.
I wanted a samurai sword.
Okay. Okay.
I want Kung Fu Grip.
Okay, Fufu's Kung Fu. Try to say that three times. Fufu's Kung Fu Grip. We'll call it the Kung Fufu Grip.
I want the string that comes off my back.
Names. Dan doesn't like Fufu. You can't call him that anymore.
It's too late, dude. You are Fufu.
You are the Foo. Just accept that one.
And there's so many worse nicknames you could have. It's true.
Like the Dark Tipper or something like that.
Poor guy. Never again will you be carded. That's too bad, because I was thinking for the action figure, Kevin, a big D on your chest.
I'm good, thanks.
Yeah. I'll be the blind guy with no hair. No.
No way. You have the badger-like pelt of luxurious hair.
Yeah, exactly.
And Pat will have to have his sledgehammer.
Yeah. Hey, this is exciting. And a car. You got to have a car, Patrick. You got to have a Camaro or something.
Ugh. No Camaros.
How about an old Boss?
I love this. So
GTO.
What are we going to do with Robert? Robert can have the... I know. Robert's like in a lab coat, and his hair could be sticking straight up.
Seriously. That and the string coming out of my back, you can pull, and I'll say something. I'm going to lose that thought real quick.
Yeah, lose that. Stop. No more string out of his back. But you can have a little cigarette dangling from your lips, okay?
That's true. To remind me of the habit I should stop, but cannot.
Yes, you should.
The most well-engineered legal drug in the country.
It is. It's a perfect alcohol. It's a perfect delivery mechanism.
Boys and girls, remember that Robert Harrod's addiction to cigarettes is not an endorsement on behalf of Twit for cigarette usage. No.
Send your unused cartons, too.
For the health insurance.
It's so hard to smoke in California now because you just can't. You have to not only go outside the building, you now have to walk like 100 feet away. So it's getting. Nobody smokes around here as much.
You must be hanging out in really nice places, unlike the rest of us.
Well, I was going to say, when you go to Canada, everybody smokes in Toronto. It's the weirdest thing.
When you go to most states in America, everybody smokes.
It was strangest for me, I think, in New York and Chicago, watching the... We had it... I think it affected us out here in California first.
Where the restaurants, you couldn't smoke in a restaurant or... that was a big deal.
Bars.
A bar, when you couldn't smoke in a bar.
But the minute I saw that kick in New York and, in particular, Chicago, it was amazing.
Did you see the writing on the wall?
I never thought it would happen. Vegas will be the holdout, though.
Yeah, that's right.
You can smoke anywhere in Vegas.
Vegas, baby.
You can smoke or drink anywhere in that town.
So big Nurse, announcement I need from another. Microsoft. They, you know, big Longhorn. Are you ready? The big Longhorn announcement, right? They took out the file system. They've taken out all anything good that was. But they do have a new feature you're going to love in Longhorn. No more My. It's no more My Music, My Pictures, My Folders, My Network. None of that. My
It's
documents.
Now computer.
It's documents. Just going to be documents, music, pictures.
Wow.
No more My.
Amazing. Wow. Amazing yeah. Selling point right there. I'm up for sure. That's awesome.
And how many years is this going to push back development?
Well, that's the problem. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah,
by the way.
They just picked up 6 months of development
2007.
Time.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. But no My. It's going to be worth it. You want to upgrade.
If it wasn't for gaming, I would just dump the Windows platform and move everything over to Linux.
Buy an Xbox. And buy a PlayStation 3. They're going to be better gaming.
PC gaming. PC gaming stays ahead of that curve better than... You can't beat it.
I guess.
I love console gaming.
What's your favorite game right now, Robert? What are you playing?
For my PC... Actually, I've been getting back to some real-time strategy stuff, like Roller Coaster Tycoon.
Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's hardcore PC gaming.
No, but I also fired
if it weren't
up,
for Roller Coaster Tycoon, I'd be using Linux right now.
No, those are some... Once you build up a sizable amusement park, that actually becomes a pretty challenging game.
Do you like Zoo Tycoon?
I'm glad you couldn't say that with a straight face, Robert.
But what was the other one? Empire Earth 2 was another one somebody just gave me.
No, I'll be honest. I kind of like... Yet. I still am playing Rise of Nations, and I like that stuff.
That's a great game, too. And I actually loaded up Far Cry again. I'm going back through that.
You know, that's one of those games. It was a beautiful game, but it took, like, you know, a few hours to finish.
Oh, definitely. I've been trying to do it on realistic, which is the hardest setting. It's darn hard. That's all I have to say. It's a challenge.
It's a challenge.
But that game, I still say that game has the best AI of all first-person shooters within the last, in all of history. I haven't seen a first-person shooter with a better AI system than Far Cry.
You play games, Howard? Howard?
Foo.
That and my Counter-Strike addiction.
Oh, you still play Counter-Strike?
Oh, Counter-Strike Source is just fun. They've been adding a lot of new maps too lately, which mix it up a little bit. They've been revisiting a lot of classic maps from the original Counter-Strike and redoing them with the new engine to pretty them up. It's a good team game.
It's exciting.
Co-op team games are my favorite, bar none.
It's kind of an underground business, but there's a lot of them. And they're big in San Francisco. All the kids go in after school's out, and they all go into these internet gaming parlors, and they're all playing Counter-Strike against each other.
I don't know. There's a lot of them, at least three of them, that were within a couple miles of my neighborhood have all shut down.
Well, maybe they're coming out to the suburbs now, because there's a bunch. In fact, I was driving behind a big old pickup truck that said, "You frag 'em," on his license plate. Just follow him to the gaming center. We didn't really get to talk about this last week, so let's talk about this week. Pentium D, the dual-core Pentium, going to the desktop. Intel says it's going to sell a million of them by the end of the year. It's the end of the line for single-core processors.
Yeah, then there's almost a performance improvement if you use a couple of obscure benchmarks. It's expensive, yet difficult. I don't know. It's the benchmarks I've seen so far, and Robert, you know, you probably have been following this closer than I have, but I'm not seeing a much that doesn't make me want to go for a much less expensive, you know, Athlon 64 compared to the Pentium D.
Yeah, I was going to say, Intel who?
Is Intel in trouble? Is this it? I mean,
for desktop CPUs, it's losing favor with the hardcore group, definitely.
Yeah.
With AMD's X2 coming up, that is the most powerful processor you can buy for everything.
Is that a dual-core 64? What is that?
Yeah, dual-core. That's coming up. Let's see. Actually, I think you can purchase them right now. Let me see. Over at Monarch, actually, I thought had a couple of them. I'll take a quick peek. But anyway, all our performance numbers for video encoding, audio encoding, gaming, everything just puts that chip at the forefront.
And that, you don't have to have a 64-bit OS.
No. And there's no reason to have a 64-bit OS right now for 99.9% of everyone out there.
Well, there's lots of reasons not to, like nothing works.
Yeah, well, there's just no benefit yet is the big thing. No significant benefit.
I don't know if there will be.
There's a bunch of guys out there who do like really huge statistical database packages who are like, yes, there is. Sorry.
I need 4 terabytes of memory.
And there are people who
actually
do. I think
that's one of the ways Intel went wrong, though, right? Is it saying, well, we're going to put all our efforts into 64-bit code. And AMD said, no, x86 has lots of legs. And they stuck with it.
I don't know. Intel still owns what percentage of the market?
Well, that's because of like companies like Dell.
Even Dell's looking at AMD now, though. Would that be
Intel still has their integrated graphics too.
Would that be the bellwether if Dell suddenly says, "Yeah, we're going to do AMD"?
Well, I think people still, you know, the vast buying majority, and certainly IT community, like the IT community in general, are all about Intel.
Yeah. Well, although, I bought a Pentium M. I mean, this pad is a Pentium M, and I mean that's the best laptop chip still. Yes.
Oh, absolutely. The Pentium. I mean, unless AMD's, you know, I love the.
We don't know about the Turion yet. We haven't seen benchmarks yet.
Yeah. Well, I love the Averitech notebook I have, except for the fact that it doesn't have a Pentium M in it. And the new ones, they actually switched them from the AMD Athlon XPs over to Celeron M's or Celeron.
Veritech, a second tier company, but they're making good products for very low prices.
Well,
some complaints about quality control, maybe they don't last as long as the other guys. Is that?
Well, I've had to, this is the first notebook I've ever had to ship back inside the first 6 or 7 months for repairs. The power supply plug came loose inside the case.
I've heard numerous complaints about that, actually.
The case itself, the plastic molding was bent a little bit, so it scrapes against the screen, and there's nothing I can do about that. The keyboard's warped from the heat of the unit, so it's got a really interesting shape to it. But it was also, $800, $850 after rebate with a half a gig of RAM, a decent processor, 12-inch screen. This is the ultra-portable version, onboard 802.11g. And I mean, when it came back,
except for the melting keyboard thing.
Yeah, well, it's funny. It's most, I mean, most of the keyboard manufacturers for notebooks. I mean, because it was funny. I told you guys I've been gutting my house and throwing away all the old stuff. And that box of crap is going to have some amazing stuff in it if we ever decide to give it away. But I found this notebook I've been saving for forever, which is one of the original Dell Latitudes. And it's got a trackball in it, and the keyboard is amazing, you know, but the notebook's like 3 inches thick. But the action on that keyboard is still the closest thing to that is the keyboards they use in the IBM ThinkPads. And even those are, you know, just because they have to go so thin on the Z on these. If they don't spend money on the keyboards, they just fall apart.
Another reason I'm buying my IBMs. I love IBM's notebook keyboards.
I'm nervous about the Lenovo takeover on IBM, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's the Chinese government. Speaking of governments, look what did you see what the MPAA announced today? The Motion Picture Association of America said they're putting up 10 surveillance cameras on the streets of LA to catch DVD pirates. Can a private group put up surveillance cameras on the street?
There are more there are more surveillance cameras in the United States, like per square mile, than any other country in the world, Leo. I mean, you're walking down
but
an
they're
urban
usually
street.
Put up by the city.
No, they're not. They're put up by building owners. They're put up by corporations.
But this is on the streets of L.A.
what do you think happens? Go walk around downtown San Francisco. There's buildings that watch the exits in every, you know, corner. What's going to be interesting is, like, yeah, if they are working with the city, they have to
they
work
are.
With the city to get them posted.
The city police are monitoring the cameras.
Oh, that's funny.
My last trip to Europe, when I was in Italy, every building on every corner had at least two cameras. It was they were everywhere. So, if it makes it easier for law enforcement, yeah, there is the whole Big Brother issue. But
you could monitor it with your new little device that you showed on system. You could monitor those cameras, steal the signal. Now, let me ask you this. So that's what you built on the first episode of System,
right?
A device to monitor video cameras. Could you reverse that, and this is very iSpy, and make it send a signal to the camera, or intercept a signal and send a different signal?
Right. You'd actually have to broadcast...
At that frequency
and the same signal track over... I know what you're saying. You're saying so that whoever's watching the security monitor, you could replace their signal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could put
the
Flintstones up or something.
In theory.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah, all you have to do is...
We talked about it on your video.
Yeah, all you have to do is basically boost it. You get a camera that's transmitting the signal and put a booster on it and just overpower the heck out of it. And anything that they have isn't going to be able to keep up with the power of that signal you're sending out.
I think that's a great idea. That's a very candid camera. That's kind of 21st century punked. You watch the guard go crazy because all of a sudden, you know, something else is on there.
Well, what is that FCC rule? It says all electronic devices have to accept some form of interference or any form of interference. So,
well, and they're on unregulated. I mean, that's what you're talking about. And from the Shadows box 3 is that this is unregulated frequency, right? So that you can do anything you want.
Well, pretty much. I mean, according to FCC, though, you can't increase your. It's like when we were trying to modify some antennas on air on, you know, back at G4, and they wouldn't let us. You can't increase the broadcast power beyond a certain amount, and it's actually illegal to do that.
There's a maximum, and it's illegal. It's also illegal to use any non-certified antenna, which is why they all had different pigtail connectors.
I think our biggest issue, though, for that TV broadcast thing was the fact that, or it was a radio or television, but we were interrupting signals, potentially interrupting signals that were being used for commercial purposes.
Whoops.
So it wasn't an unlicensed chunk of bandwidth.
How long before someone hacks the MPAA cameras and maybe puts Star Wars Episode 3 on the camera?
Oh,
you know what?
Amazing.
Somebody's going to somebody's just going to walk up and just smash the front of them in with a hammer, put their blanket down, and start selling their pirated videos.
this is from the group that said that the VCR was to the American public as the Boston Strangler is to the woman Home Alone. And who's the real threat here? The Motion Picture Association of America, folks, not the VCR. Jeez.
Well, I wonder why. I mean, is it even possible to know how much money they actually lose worldwide to piracy? I mean, I understand them wanting to protect it, but it's kind of like funny because they're always doing really nickel and dime things because maybe the only place they can do them is inside the U.S.
Well, and how much money are they spending trying to enforce all this stuff?
Well, all the lawyers are already on retainer.
I wish they would just simply put that effort into creating more formats for us at better quality at cheaper prices, and I think the problem would solve itself.
Mm. Guys, I think we are running out of time. Any final thoughts from anybody? Any plugs anybody wants to get in?
Did you guys talk about Star Wars? Did you guys all see it last week? I missed it. I was out.
I saw it.
A little busy.
Yeah, I saw it. I was a little disappointed.
I want to see it again.
It was a lot better than the last two.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. I just would have liked to have seen the emergence of the Dark Darth, the masked Darth Vader, a lot sooner in the movie.
Yeah, that's what we all want to see him.
Mm-hmm.
Forget Princess Amidala. Who cares about her?
I think the love scenes with the princess...
Biggest disappointments.
Well, they just snuffed her character. It was kind of like what they did to Jar Jar in Episode 2.
She went from her people to this twisted housewife, and it just... Yeah,
it was like a Henry James novel without the good writing or the plot and character development.
Is it just me, or does it kind of freak you out that Luke and Leia are twins? I mean, is that kind of freaky?
Why?
It just creeps me out. I don't know.
Because one has brown hair and one has yellow hair, and they don't look alike.
They were this love interest in the beginning, and it's like, ooh, I don't know.
Well, that's where Han steps in and goes, oh, sister, cool.
Hey, yeah, man. You got a cute sister, man.
You just got to treat a Jedi sister right, or, you know, he'll mess you up.
And your mama's pretty cute, too. Even if she is a Yale graduate.
La, 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 la.
I'm a Jedi.
Well, yeah. right? I mean,
I don't know. Well, that would happen.
Are there female Jedi masters?
Series when it comes out.
Are
yes, there were female Jedis.
Who?
Were there?
Weren't there? I thought there were in episode two.
Yeah, there were some. In episode three, yeah.
Either that or there were Jedis in drag.
Well, they all wear skirts. All it's kind of hard to tell.
You never know Star Wars. So.
Sorry, that was playing in San Francisco.
All right.
Thanks, Leo, for inviting me up. I just want to tell you for inviting me up to Canada. That was a lot of fun. Call for Help was great.
Yeah, in fact, watch Call for Help because he'll be on it soon, I think. I can't remember when those shows air, but yeah. Showing us how he does system and the little war spying device that you made. That'll be fun. Yeah, and are you going to come back at some point?
What's that, Leo?
You going to come back?
Yeah, definitely, if you'll have me back.
Oh, anytime. In fact, standing offer to all of you. Anytime you're in the mood to Toronto, I can't pay your way. I'll buy you dinner. That's all I can do. But anytime you want to come to Toronto, you're welcome. Yeah. Hey, I apologize to all our listeners for being a little late on the TwitCast, but Memorial Day, and I was down on Bourbon Street, and I didn't wake up until Tuesday. So,
just drinking.
You know, honesty, Bourbon Street is a little over the top. I mean, there are people just stumbling drunk all over the. It's like a frat
Where's
party.
Bourbon Street?
In New Orleans.
Yeah, it's like that year round. Last time I checked,
it's a frat party. I was kind of appalled. I mean, I'm no prude, but boy.
Well, isn't that the city that's going to disappear into the ocean in 20 years?
Is it?
Well, they've been saying that since the Civil War.
Yeah, well, I mean, they keep building bigger and bigger dikes around the perimeter of the city to keep the water out, but at some point, it's just going to go away.
Yeah, it's in the bayou. I had a great time. And I met a lot of people who listened to the TwitCast, so things are going well with that, I think. Not quite 6 terabytes yet, but it's a smaller file. So
6 terabytes, gotta love that bandwidth.
Congratulations on your success, Kevin, with System. Congratulations on your new job, Yoshi. Congratulations on your new apartment or house. What is it, Patrick?
Gonna be renting another house.
That's exciting.
Yes,
we'll get you into the home buyer market pretty soon here.
Hey, you know what? As soon as I win that lottery ticket,
Robert Heron, congratulations on the new action figure.
Pull my string.
Ew.
That's another TwitCast for another week. We'll be back back on a Sunday next week.
Ladies
and gentlemen,
pack it with technology.
This
concludes this portion of the Twit Broadcasting Network. We now return you to your regularly broadcast program.
That's it for this edition of This Week in Tech. Thanks for joining us. I'm Leo Laporte. Sorry about the late delivery. I promise to get it out on time tomorrow when we have our next edition. If you'd like to send us a question, we will be using questions again, I promise. You can email a wave or MP3 to questions at thisweekintech.com. You could telephone 206-339-TWIT or leave a voicemail on Skype at This Week in Tech. Our website is thisweekintech.com. Don't forget to take a look at those PayPal buttons. Your contributions help keep this show going. Our recommended contribution, a $2 a month subscription. That's the top button. We'll see you next time on This Week in Tech.
Ooh, I got a good topic for next week. Have you guys seen all the new airport security stuff popping up? I mean, a lot of it we already know about, but the one that's really getting everyone crazy is that millimeter wave radar that they can go through clothing but not skin. It bounces back off. So basically they're going to be staring at naked people all day.
I've actually applied for the Department of Homeland Security.
Let's talk about it next week. That will be that's good. We have that's a good tease. Next week.
She's clear, Bob. It's just
nipples
a piercing.
Wrap yourself in foil.
Is that a prosthetic?
He's wrapped in foil, boys.
It's all real.
Secondary research.
Well, this has been delightful.
You guys. All right.
People scare me.
This was good. We got a good one. I'll talk to you later.
Guys, I'm out of here.
Goodbye.
Peace, man. All right, later.
Adios, amigos.
Hang in there. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Show it off.
Bye-bye.
Clicking the...
I missed you already.
Hang up right now.
trying to find the quit button. 3, 2, 1, stop.